You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you. Hour two here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, this coming week is going to be a lot of fun. Why? NFL free agency. The tampering, quote, window opens up. And we're going to be hearing a lot of reports and where certain guys are going to be going and whatnot. And of course, we're inching closer to March Madness. So, and as we do, we've got our conference championships that are going to be taking place this coming week as well. And some good games yesterday. UNC beat Duke. Kentucky beat Tennessee. Houston opened up a can of you-know-what. Who did Houston play again? Houston is just a powerhouse. Those three won. I did have... I had Tennessee and I had Duke and I had Houston. If you recall, I had Joe Wiz on the show yesterday. I had all three of them on a Moneyline parlay. So I lost that. But nonetheless, where things start getting good is this week with those conference championships that are taking place.
And for the record, Houston beat Kansas 76-46, a 30-point
There you go. So there you go. So Houston won, Kentucky won, and UNC won. So... But isn't the Barclays, they're hosting, right? This coming week, aren't the Barclays hosting? Nope, we're just hearing a bird chirp.
Yeah, that's a bird chirping in the background. I'm trying to do the research right now. I'm trying to scramble for it. Right now.
It's okay. I'm going to talk about some of the free agents that are out there. I do believe the Barclays is hosting something. All right. So let's talk about some of the best available quarterbacks in free agency. Okay. Kirk Cousins being number one, and he's number one for, and I know folks are out there going, what are you talking about? Well, listen, there's a number of teams out there who want Kirk Cousins as their starting quarterback. I don't want him. You don't want him on your fantasy team, although he has been a top 15 fantasy football quarterback for quite a while now. But a lot of teams want him on their football team as their field general because he does win football games for you. In fact, from what I understand and everything that I'm hearing and I'm reading is that he's the number one choice for the Atlanta Falcons, which, by the way, if Atlanta gets Kirk Cousins, watch out. I think Atlanta is going to make some noise this season, especially in that division. I would wager, I'd have a future bet that I would wager that Atlanta wins that division. If you could get on that right now, I would. And I do believe that they're going to go out and they're going to have a veteran quarterback at their helm. Russell Wilson, not sure where he goes. Again, reports this week, he had a cup of coffee with the Giants over there by Newark Airport. Spent quite a few hours with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Apparently, his next stop is in Las Vegas with the Raiders. I personally think a really good fit for him would be in Atlanta. Fast track, all those weapons to work with, solid rushing game with Robinson in that backfield, good wide receiving core. I think one of the best tight ends in the NFL that never gets utilized, unfortunately, because he's been playing in Atlanta in Kyle Pitts. Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew. Who I would like to see Gardner Minshew come here and be the backup quarterback to the Jets. That's what I would like to see. I think that would be a very wise choice for Joe D, especially as we were able to see him step in for the Colts and win some important games for them this season. Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco is a family man. I don't see Joe Flacco wanting to be a part of a team or an organization from the beginning of training camp. I see Joe Flacco as a guy who is going to go back home, continue to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, drive his kids to Little League, and then get that call once the season begins to come in and be a backup somewhere. That's what I anticipate seeing. You've got Ryan Tannehill as well. Many people feel is more of a backup quarterback. You got Mason Rudolph. If the Pittsburgh Steelers sign Russell Wilson, then what do they do? Obviously, Kenny Pickett will be their number two. Mason Rudolph will be available. Some people feel that Mason Rudolph is a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett. But the Pittsburgh Steelers obviously more committed to Kenny Pickett because obviously where they drafted him, right? Then you have Jacoby Brissett, which I'm hearing that the New England Patriots want him possibly to be their starting quarterback this year. Okay. Marcus Mariota, Joshua Dobbs, Drew Luck, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, Tyrod Taylor. The list goes on and on. Mitchell Trubisky signed a 2-year, $5.2 million contract to be the backup quarterback for Josh Allen with the Bills. So, you know, in regard to quote unquote starting quarterbacks that are available in free agency, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield. That's about it in regard to free agency. Gardner Minshew, again, like I said, solid backup. Would love to see him come here and back up Aaron Rodgers for the Jets. Joe Flacco, Ryan Tannehill, Mason Rudolph, and again, Jacoby Brissett, to me, backup quarterback, but for some reason, we're hearing out of New England that they want him to be their starting quarterback this season. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. Eddie, welcome in. Good morning.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
Your screen caller was drilling me, man. He got me all riled up, man. Is that his job?
Riled up about what? What are you riled up about?
He said Breece Hall should run the Jets sweep for the Jets next year. I don't see that happening much because, you know, he's like a 4.5 on the, I even watched his 40-yard dash in college. He's not a Jets sweep guy, right? He's not the Texas wide receiver that ran a 4.22, right?
So wait, here's the thing. Wait, Eddie, don't go anywhere because this just came to mind. Did you guys see the tweet that Breece Hall put out in regard to who the best running backs are in the NFL? Did you guys see it?
No.
So he put himself number one.
Huh.
He put Bijan Robinson two, and he put Christian McCaffrey three, and then I want to say Saquon Barkley four. Now, listen, like I get it, you know, right? Like, you want to believe that you're the best, you know? Eli Manning believed that he was elite, but
well, he's got
Christian McCaffrey third?
Right.
Well, anyway, all right, so what's your question about the Jets offseason? What is it?
Well, basically, I see, since they don't have a second-round pick, right, number nine, they can't go offensive tackle or... Again, you know, I would go guard and trade down and try to get a second and then get a complimentary, I said, a real fast wide receiver that can do like a jet sweep and relief valve stuff or another running back like a little, like the Oregon running back, I think is Irving, what's his name? Who's the Oregon running back, Anita?
I don't have it in front of me. I don't have the list in front of me. Are you talking about the guy who ran broke the record this year at the combine in regard to the fastest?
Oh yeah, that's the Texas wide receiver. Yeah, you can get him.
Is
in
that
the
what
third
you're talking about?
Stick him. Yeah, get him and stick him in the third. Now you got an offensive tackle. You got the little jet sweep guy. How much more Rodgers help does Rodgers need? That should be enough to get him going. They need a strong. I said Hunter Henry, but your guys blew me off and said he signed already. I didn't hear that news. I guess he's got inside information.
Eddie, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. You know, here's the thing. You know, in regard to a wide receiver that's going to complement Garrett Wilson, you've got a number like I just shared with you. Hold on, let me go to the wide receiver. So, best available wide receivers in free agency. Again, T. Higgins signed that franchise tag with the Bengals. Mike Evans signed a 2-year, $52 million deal with the Bucs. Pittman was tagged. So Ridley, Marquise Brown, Gabe Davis, Darnell Moody, Tyler Boyd has been associated with the Jets. Odell Beckham Jr. I think that ship has sailed with Odell Beckham Jr. Just my two cents. He's been contemplating retirement. If you're even thinking about retirement, that ship has sailed. Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, KJ Osborne, Noah Brown, Kendrick Bourne. I do like Kendrick Bourne. I'm just looking at this list. Some guys that anyone who really jumps out at me. I think the best thing, and if the Jets could afford it, if they could do it, love me some Courtland Sutton with the Denver Broncos. And man, I love Calvin Ridley. I really do. To me, Mike Williams is more of a possession wide receiver. I think this team needs to needs another guy that they could bring in who can stretch the field and come in with a little bit more speed than Mike Williams. Just my two cents. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, good morning.
Good morning, Anita, and I couldn't agree with you more. They definitely need somebody to stretch the field. Mm-hmm. Wilson's a very good receiver, but you know he's the middle of the field. They need somebody to open it up. But, you know, getting with free agency and the quarterback, I mean, I think we've discussed it. I would love Minshew. I think Tannehill's almost a lock because of the coaching staff with the Jets, the connections with Tannehill. But the way I approach free agency, this isn't how I do. If I'm taking somebody with the 10th pick, I don't think I'm rolling the dice on, you know, the draft's a crapshoot. You could draft one of these kids to play left tackle and protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side coming off an Achilles? I don't think so. So I think I sign a free agent left tackle like a Donovan Smith or a Tyrone Smith. I get myself a guard, and then I draft a right tackle at 10 because you can work with that. And I think that's the way to go. With the wide receiver, I agree with you. I would like to see Ridley or Sutton. I'm good either way. And they have to shore up the interior defensive line. Running back, listen, they're a dime a dozen. You could get somebody later on. What I would like to see them do is draft, I don't know if Joe Douglas will be around next year, but draft a developmental quarterback if the situation arises on late day two or day three.
Here's the thing, and Ira, thanks for the phone call. You know, this is a Jets team that's ready to win right now. They've given up so much already for Aaron Rodgers. I think all chips in. I feel differently about the Giants. Obviously, I've been saying I'd love to see the Giants get Drake May if he's still available there at 3. I'd love to see them trade up with the Patriots and grab Drake May at 3. I think that's realistic in regard to what they can do and what they can offer, and not, you know, shoot themselves in the foot. But for the Jets, it's just a totally different storyline with Aaron Rodgers here and all that this team gave up. I get that you want a quarterback of the future, but you know, you have so many needs. You're somewhat cap strapped, that you need to use every single one of your 8 picks, possibly 9, once they do trade Zach Wilson, to invest in winning now. So I respectfully disagree, Ira. 800-919-3776. We come back. Let's take a look at the running back situation, because Saquon Barkley, I don't believe he will be here in New York. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. And of course, we've got Patty Trania, who's going to be joining us at 10:30 to get her thoughts as well. 800-919-3776. Nita Marks with you, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks. on 98.7 ESPN.
Happy Sunday fun day, everybody. It looks like the weather is cooperating today, unlike yesterday. Heading into the city a little bit later. Going to do some shopping. Isn't it funny, guys? Tom and Harvey are producing the show. How, like, different our lives are outside of football season. Like, we actually have a life, right? Like, we can do things on Thursday night.
I hope so.
Like, you hope so what?
I hope so. It sounds like people don't have lives outside of football. It's like all they do is just want to talk football and just be stuck on a couch on Saturdays and Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays.
Yeah, that's my point is, you know, during football season, I can't do anything Monday night, Thursday night, occasionally on Saturday, of course, all day Friday, all day Sunday and into Sunday night. Right?
No, you can. I mean, people just lack the awareness to make plans or just to include others in their football plans. And it's a shame.
No, I don't think you're following me. What I mean by a life is like, you know, going into the city, going shopping, having brunch, going to see theater. Like, you know, it's like just for me, Harvey, my life changes immensely. Right. It's not like all day, every day thinking, eating, sleeping, analyzing football and obviously watching. Which I have to do.
So what you're saying is you're getting a 6-month vacation from like having to be extremely focused on the sport that you cover.
I wouldn't call it a vacation, but yeah, life changes. It's just
a little bit.
It's just different. It's just different. That's all. And listen, I love football season. I love it. It's my favorite season. I'm not complaining about it. It's just a different vibe. That's it. It's a different vibe. But again, heading into free agency this week, what is going to happen with Saquon Barkley? So as we know, the Giants did not use their franchise tag on Saquon Barkley. If they would have, it would have been close to $12 million. Understandably so, why they did not. I would not pay a running back $12 million a year. Whether it's Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, whatever the case may be, not where my money flow is going to be headed. So what can the Giants do? And again, we're going to have Patty Trania on momentarily. I think the Giants offer Saquon a fair contract. Maybe it's, you know, a 3-year contract with an opt out on year 3, a base of $10 million with a lot of incentives to get to $12 million. And I think Saquon turns it down yet again because they offered him a very fair contract last year before they agreed to the contract with Daniel Jones. So they did make Saquon Barkley a priority. He just didn't accept their contract. But here's the thing. You've got a number of teams out there that have a lot of money. And the Houston Texans being one of them. And I think the Houston Texans, and I want to call up the cap space, Texans have $66.5 million in cap space. Now, keep in mind, they've got a quarterback in C.J. Stroud who was great last year. He's coming into his second year. Now, teams, defenses are going to have an offseason to really digest that film and get to know his tendencies, get to understand that the offense that they were running. And I think it would be fantastic for this young quarterback, not a rookie, but second year quarterback, to have someone like Saquon Barkley in that backfield to keep defenses honest. So I do anticipate the Texans to come after Saquon Barkley. That would not be a surprise to me, and possibly offer Saquon Barkley the money that he wants guaranteed per year in the $12 million range. Also, there's a number of really good running backs that are available in free agency. Tony Pollard, who I really love, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry. Here's a guy that Giants fans should keep an eye on, and that's DeAndre Swift. Could he be your poor man, Saquon Barkley? I think he could. We saw what he was able to do with the Philadelphia Eagles last year. I don't believe the Philadelphia Eagles bring him back. Wouldn't it be weird if Saquon goes to Philadelphia and DeAndre Swift comes here? Be interesting. But I think DeAndre Swift could be a good fit here for the Giants because I think he could fit in to the offensive game plan that the Giants had with Saquon Barkley. Again, not as good as Saquon Barkley, but I think can do a lot of the things that we saw Saquon Barkley do in this Giants offense. Devin Singletary, J.K. Dobbins, Zach Moss, Gus Edwards, Antonio Gibson, A.J. Dillon, just to name a few. Some complimentary running backs that I feel like at this stage in the game in their career are your 1-2 punch, right? This is the number two that comes in. Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Rashad Penny, Deontay Foreman, Clyde Edwards-Alaire, Cam Akers, Kareem Hunt, just to name a few. So there's a laundry list of a lot of running backs coming in, entering free agency. And I'd say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'd say there's 10 that very well could sign with a team and become their number one lead running back this season. Quick break. We come back. Patty Trania will join us next here on 98.7 ESPN. We'll talk about Saquon Barkley, her thoughts on the comments that are seeping out of the Giants facility pertaining to Daniel Jones, what she thinks that this team is going to do in the draft. All that next here on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
With him, you just can simply say, look, we're going to bring you in, you're going to compete, and we'll see how you play, and we'll go from there. And I think that's kind of a good thing for your team if he's willing to accept that role. Remember, when Kurt Warner left the Giants, he was not playing well in his NFL career. And then he went to Arizona, was the backup there, and then became the starter. And I think those 2 years that he had at Arizona was what got him into the Hall of Fame.
Michael Lombardi talking about Russell Wilson. Are the Giants a good place for him to take his talents to? Patty Trania joins us now here on 98.7 ESPN. She does a phenomenal job of covering the Giants, and she has for several years. Patty, great to have you on. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Anita. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Let's start right there, right? Reports, Adam Schefter, as well as Ian Rappaport, reporting that Russell Wilson flew into Newark. The Giants allegedly met with him, kicking the can around. And again, folks who aren't aware, the Denver Broncos are on the hook for $39 million, guaranteed. They have to pay Russell Wilson. Any team that signs him can sign him for $1.2 million. That's the veteran minimum for a guy who's been in the league for 12 years. So talk about a bargain price where, of course, the Denver Broncos will pay the difference. So with that being said, Patty, your thoughts on Russell visiting the Giants?
Yeah, first off, it was a surprise. I mean, you think Russell would want to go someplace where he could be a starter, maybe, you know, settle in and whatnot. But that being said, we had heard, you know, years ago when Russell Wilson was, you know, in the midst of breaking up with the Seahawks, that maybe New York might be a desired destination. His wife, Ciara, I think, had expressed interest there. But for Russell Wilson to come to the Giants, I didn't hate that, to be honest with you, because as you pointed out, it would be a cheap price because, you know, he does have the guaranteed money and whatnot that the Broncos would owe him. And as a bridge type of thing or as a backup in case Daniel Jones is not ready, I think it makes sense, to be honest with you. You know, I think Giants are still looking to draft a quarterback. I would not be, you know, I would not rule that out in the first, like, two rounds. But, you know, you're going to need a veteran in there in case something happens to Daniel Jones. And if you do bring in a rookie, that rookie isn't ready to go.
Yeah, so a few things here. I had Jeff Legwold on the show yesterday and was asking him, like, what happened? Like, you know, first of all that the Denver Broncos gave up to get Russell Wilson and then now being on the hook for close to $40 million, you know, insult to injury. And Jeff said, listen, that's the $1 million question because the players liked him. The narrative that he was the last one in the building and first one to leave is not true. Jeff could not have said more wonderful things about Russell Wilson. So hence, don't always believe what you hear from the media, just FYI. But here's my thing, Patty. I don't think Russell, I don't think Russell Wilson goes to a team as a backup. Like if the Giants bring him in, to me, he's the starter. I can't see him going to a team as a backup, right? And so that leaves me to, what are you hearing about Daniel Jones besides, you know, what Rich Eisen reported this week that the Giants are done with him, right? Like, I'm sure that was a surprise for you to hear as well, right?
Well, I mean, with Russell Wilson, I think you're right. I think any player, if you ask any player if they would rather be a starter or a backup, they'll say that they want to be a starter, especially a quarterback. You know, now, remember, Joe Shane was asked about Daniel Jones, and the choice of verbiage here is very important. He said, and I quote, the expectation is that Daniel Jones will be our starter once he is healthy, end quote. Not Daniel Jones will be our starter once healthy, but the expectation. So you consider that, I mean, expectations can change. We all know that. So to me, that sounded like Shane was kind of hedging his bets a little bit and kind of, you know, leaving himself some wiggle room in the event that something better came along or that Jones wasn't healthy. So I thought that was a very telling statement. And, you know, as far as the Giants being totally done with him, they have to keep him on the roster this year because of the salary cap hit that they would take if they were to cut him. But I would not be surprised if you know, they're looking to move off of him. I mean, what is this, 6 years now in, and we're still asking what this guy can be? I mean, if they don't know by now, when are they going to find out?
But is it a fair assessment to make? You know what I mean? Like, even John Mara came out and said that this organization has done everything to really screw this kid up, right? Never really has had a great offensive line to work with. Eight offensive coordinators, if you go back to his final year at Duke. You know, last year when he was healthy, Saquon Barkley was not. Obviously, this offense doesn't run as efficiently without Saquon Barkley than it does with. You know, no really phenomenal weapons. Darren Waller was injured last year. So, you know, there really was not a year that I look at that Daniel Jones has played that I feel like, yeah, you know, solid top 10 offensive line, Saquon Barkley's healthy, and a plethora of legit weapons to work with. We haven't seen that from Daniel. Like, I don't know how many other quarterbacks in the NFL, Patty, and I know I sound like an apologist, but I don't know how many other quarterbacks in the NFL would even have any success here with the Giants if they had to go through what Daniel did the last few years?
Well, I mean, that's a fair argument. But that being said, Anita, you know, that's also making a case for everything's got to be perfect around Daniel Jones. And we all know that's never going to happen. No quarterback has everything perfect around them. So at what point do you say, okay, this guy's got to raise the level of the players around them? I mean, Eli Manning had, you know, really didn't have strong receivers for parts of his career, and he was still able to find success. You know, the offensive line argument, you know, I get that, but how was it that Tyrod Taylor and even Tommy DeVito, to a degree, had a little better success moving the ball up and down the field, you know, and avoiding, you know, some of the problems that Daniel Jones has? I mean, the bottom line, as I see it, and look, I get it. Saquon Barkley wasn't, you know, in the lineup for, what, 3 games to Daniel Jones was in the lineup. Andrew Thomas was banged up, and he was missing chunks of time. But, you know, at some point you got to look and say, okay, did Daniel Jones look comfortable in the pocket? This was year two of the system, and to me, he never looked comfortable. He always looked skittish, and some of his decisions, you sat there and you say, dude, how could you have missed that receiver that was wide open, or how could you have thrown that ball there? So, I mean, just to me, I don't think he took the step forward when he was in the game and when he, you know, when circumstances were, you know, in his favor, I don't think he took the step forward that maybe a lot of people thought he would.
Yeah, I hear you. Again, Patty Trania joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You know, health-wise, what are you hearing, Patty? You know, we've had Jordan Renan on the show, obviously, ESPN, and he seems pretty optimistic that Daniel will be ready game one of the regular season. Are you as optimistic?
I think so. I mean, Daniel, I know, is attacking his rehab. You know, Joe Shane gave an update at the Combine a couple weeks ago, said that I think Daniel was doing some anti-gravity running, if I found that term right. I think Daniel Jones doesn't want to miss time. He's had injury history throughout his career. I know it kills him to have to miss time. And he wants to be out there. He wants to, you know, be there for his teammates. The question I would have, though, you are coming off of an ACL tear, and one of your best assets is your legs. So I would question how much of that part of his game is going to be compromised, initially speaking. And I also would question if the Giants maybe, you know, take that into consideration before they give him the green light to return.
So with that being said, you know, there's also talk and speculation that the Giants are going to take a quarterback in this draft. And I know you and I have spoken before. I'm really high on Drake May. I would love to see Drake May come to the Giants. In fact, I'm hoping that the Bears in Washington pass up on him and he's sitting there at 3. Do you think that the Giants would pick up the phone and call the Patriots and inquire about a trade with the Patriots, or maybe they have already, if Drake May is sitting there at 3? From what I understand, they hosted him on Friday at the facility.
Right, right. I think it's going to depend on how free agency goes, Anita, because right now you can say that the Giants have needs across the board. And if the draft were today, I would say, no, don't trade up. You've got too many needs. You know, use your draft picks to fill those needs. So that said, now if the Giants start filling some of those needs to where they have the luxury of trading up, then, yeah, I could see it making sense. I don't think they will, because it's going to cost them, you know, easily a nice little chunk of change, including some of next year's draft picks, probably, to move up. But, you know, you kind of have to see how free agency plays out. And Shane even said that at the Combine. He said, look, the roster's going to look a lot differently in a few weeks. You know, once we get through free agency, that's going to also help us set our course for the draft. And I took that to mean, you know, if they fill us some of these major needs, now maybe they have the luxury of trading up, whereas right now they don't.
So let's say they don't trade up, right? Because I don't believe that Drake May falls past 3. There's also some talk and speculation that J.J. McCarthy, quarterback for the Michigan Wolverines, falls to them at 6 and they take him. Do you have any conviction that if the Giants sit at 6 that they will take a quarterback there, Patty?
I think they go receiver. I'm going to be honest with you. I think, you know, J.J. McCarthy's a good player, but I think that might be a little too high for him. You know, obviously his stock can rise between now and then, and this is just my opinion that I think it's too high for him. But look, the Giants haven't had a number one receiver since Odell left. You know, so Daniel Jones, as you said earlier, has never had the luxury of playing with a true number one receiver. So I'm sticking right now with they're going to go with the receiver, one of, you know, Roma Dunze or maybe Malik Nabers, or if he falls to them at 6, maybe even Marcus Harrison Jr. I don't think Harrison's going to fall that far, but I think now what I also think is I could potentially see the Giants trading back into the bottom of the first round if one of those quarterbacks falls. You know, maybe if McCarthy is still sitting there, you know, towards the bottom of the first round, and I don't know if he will be or not, but if he's still sitting there, then maybe it makes sense for the Giants to trade back into the bottom of the first round, because remember, for your first round picks, you get that option year that so that if McCarthy or whatever quarterback you pick has to sit, you now say, okay, you know what, we've got the option year if we need an extra year to evaluate him.
Got it. Looking around, you know, obviously the other positions out there, Saquon Barkley, we were talking about it just a second ago, again, did not get tagged. A two-part question here. Number one, do you think that the Giants make him an offer? And if so, what do you think that offer will look like?
I do think the Giants are going to try, will make him an offer. I don't think it's going to exceed a deal to where it comes to over $10 million a year. I know they did that last year, but last year was a little bit of a different situation as far as, you know, where they were as a franchise. I do think they would like him back. If I had to take a guess, I would say maybe a range for them would be around like the, I'm going to say the 7 to 9 million range. I know they don't want to really overspend on a running back. And here's just the other thing I'll just add about Saquon. You know, he's often spoken about his legacy and, you know, wanting to end his career as a Giant, be a Giant for life. And, you know, look, he's going to have a tough decision to make, too, because if some team comes along and offers him an excess of $10 million a year and the Giants say, let's say their max offer is $9 million, you know, now Saquon's got to decide, okay, do I take the extra million or two, or do I continue and you know, live out the rest of my Giants legacy that is so important to me? So I'm curious to see how that goes, but I would not be surprised if some team with a lot of cap space in a state that doesn't have an income tax, state income tax, I wouldn't be surprised if a team comes along and offers Saquon stupid money.
Yeah, and I think that team's going to be the Houston Texans. They've got a little over $66 million in cap space. Also, they have C.J. Stroud coming into his second season. You know, I think defensive coordinators are going to have the offseason to really look at film and try to not allow him to have the successful rookie season that he had again. I think having Saquon Barkley would be so advantageous for him and that Texans team to have him in the backfield, and they've got the money to do it. What are some of the teams that you think are going to be throwing some money at Saquon?
Definitely the Texans, because as I mentioned, you know, there's no state income tax, I think, in the state of Texas. I could see maybe Baltimore making a run at him. I know the Eagles have been mentioned. I wonder if that's going to come to fruition. I mean, the Eagles, I can't see them just doing that just to stick it to the Giants. I think the move's got to make sense. But, you know, DeAndre Swift is a free agent for the Eagles, and maybe they look to replace him. So I would say, you know, the Texans and the Ravens are the two teams I would keep an eye on for Saquon. You know, the Eagles, possibly. Dallas, I know they've been mentioned too, but I have a feeling Dallas goes after Josh Jacobs faster than Saquon.
Interesting. Also, some reports in regard to Darren Waller. I was expecting a lot from Darren Waller this past season. I think a lot of people were as well, and fell way short because of injury. And there's some talk and speculation that he's contemplating retirement. What is, you know, what's that? What's the latest? What are you hearing?
Yeah, the latest is that, you know, he hasn't made up his mind. It looks like the Giants are giving him some space. You know, obviously a lot of people would say, well, you know, make up your mind before the start of free agency so that the Giants have the cap space if you are indeed going to retire. But, you know, right now the Giants have, you know, a decent amount of cap space where if they have to give Waller another week to make up his mind, you know, before they have to start restructuring contracts, they can afford to do so. The concern I would have right now with Waller is, you know, I would want to know how has he been training, because as you know, these football players, they go through intense off-season training even before they get to the facility. And if you're contemplating retirement, are you all in at this point, or are you, well, I don't know, so I'm only going to go half speed. And if you go half speed, how ready are you going to be? So, you know, look, I respect Waller. I think he's a wonderful person. He's got to do what's best for him. But, you know, this was kind of this came out of left field. And, you know, I get that he was frustrated last year. I think a lot of people were frustrated with how the season went. But, you know what they say. They say once you start thinking about retirement, you're not all in. And I think Brian Daboll wants guys who are all in. And unless Waller can come back and convince them and say, yes, I'm definitely all in, I've trained, I'm ready to go, I have some hesitations about that.
Before we let you go, Patty, again, free agency, it's going to be a fun week. What are some of the players out there that you think Giants fans need to keep an eye on that you think the Giants are going to go after?
Definitely offensive line. That has to be priority at 1, 2, and 3, in my opinion. You could bring in the best skill position players. You could draft the top quarterback in this draft, which is, you know, I think is Caleb Williams. It doesn't mean anything if your offensive line is like Swiss cheese. So definitely going to look at offensive line. I would not be surprised if Carmen Brasillo, the new offensive line coach, makes a pitch to be reunited with Jermaine Elamunar, who he had out there in Las Vegas. Elamunar, I believe, can give them guard and tackle flexibility, and I think that's what they need with their offensive line. And, you know, I've seen, you know, Jonah Jackson has mentioned, Mike Onwenu of the Patriots has been mentioned. I think if you're the Giants, you want somebody who can give you guard tackle flexibility, because if Evan Neal is A, not ready after, you know, his offseason surgery, or B, he struggles again at tackle, you want to be able to have somebody who, you know, can step in and, you know, maybe that person goes to right tackle, and maybe you push Evan Neal over to left guard or whatever. So position flexibility is going to be a big key. And I think with the offensive line, that's what the Giants are going to go after. They're going to prioritize guys that could give them guard tackle flexibility or center guard flexibility for the interior.
Great stuff as always, Patty. Thank you. Always good having you on the show. Just so knowledgeable, so on point. Really do appreciate it. Why don't you let the folks know where they can find your podcast, all your information, especially as free agency is about to kick off.
Yeah, you can find my written work over at GiantsCountry.com, which is part of the Fan Nation Network. You can find my podcast on YouTube. It's the Locked On Giants podcast. And I'm on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A.
Fantastic. Have a great Sunday fun day, Patty. Appreciate you.
You too.
You got it. 800-919-3776. A lot to digest, folks. We'll get your calls next here on 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you here on 98.7 ESPN. I want to remind you, Garden of Laughs returns to the theater at MSG on March 27th, benefiting the Garden of Dreams Foundation. The all-star comedy lineup features Bill Burr, Michael Che, Chris DiStefano, Jim Gaffigan, Heather McMahon, Tracy Morgan, Sam Morrell, and Jon Stewart, hosted by Steve Sharippa. Support the Garden of Dreams Foundation and have a great time doing it. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Also, tournament update, driven by Nissan. And just to fill you in on what happened yesterday, Houston took care of Kansas, beat them by 30 points, 76-46. Boy, Houston making a statement, that's for sure, as we get closer to the madness happening. UConn, number two school in the country, definitely going to get a number one seed in the big dance, taking care of Providence, 74-60. No surprise there. How about Kentucky upsetting Tennessee, 85-81. Arizona gets beat by USC, 78-65. But Arizona, their eye, of course, on their Pac-12 tournament. And Arizona, some feel, could get a number one seed, definitely a two, once the bracket is released. Iowa State losing to Kansas State, 65-58. And how about UNC? North Carolina beating Duke at Cameron, 84-79. Creighton Oler over Villanova, 69-78 yesterday as well. And we do have some basketball to be played today. Purdue, a lot of people feel Purdue should be the number one seed, overall number one seed in the big dance. They're taking on Wisconsin today. Tip-off is at 12:30. And the number 12, Illinois, is taking on Iowa at 7 o'clock. Again, tournament update driven by Nissan, coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com. 800-919-3776. Go to Tommy in Connecticut. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how are you today?
Hi, good morning. Great, thank you.
So just, I got a couple of quick things on Daniel Jones, but when Patty was signing up, can we just decide to, you know, either call it X or call it Twitter? Like, I hate this X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm not playing that game. And as far as Daniel Jones goes, I think the Giants would be crazy to draft a quarterback, especially at 6. You want to draft one and, you know, pick 107 or whatever they have, that's fine. But build around this kid. He's been a good soldier. I know he's been banged up, but who in the NFL hasn't? I mean, everyone gets hurt. We can fix ACLs. You know, he's over the neck. I don't know why they look like everybody wants to make it sound like he's like damaged goods.
Because I think a lot of people believe that he is, Tommy. You know, I'm the biggest Daniel Jones apologist, and I've got some concerns in regard to his durability. And I think a lot of it isn't his fault. It's because he's been playing behind a horrible offensive line pretty much his entire career here with the Giants, and has just gotten absolutely pummeled. So I don't think a lot of it is his fault. Quick break. We come back. We'll kick off hour number 3. We'll find out what's trending at 11 a.m. on this Sunday morning right here on 98.7 ESPN.